Hello there, this is Bane. When I'm not out on the streets of Gotham hunting the Batman, I find myself listening to Part-Time Fanboy on a regular basis. Be sure to check out Part-Time Fanboy at www.parttimefanboy.com for somewhat weekly podcasts and reviews about various fanboy-related subjects. Also be sure to like them on Facebook and follow them on the Twitter. Do it now, or I'll have to do something awful to your spine.
Used to work in Silicon Alley in New York City. In my downtime, I was looking for something to look at over the internet. And this was, I guess, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, maybe longer. Who knows? But I found these animated Flash comic books that you would have to download and then play on your computer. They were done with Flash animation. The one I watched the most was called The Seventh Portal. And it was a group of superheroes, and I can't even remember what the name of one of them was, but there was a team of them, and you needed a T1 internet connection to download the videos, and even that took like 20 minutes working in a professional web company. But I also happened to watch The Accuser and The Drifter, and it wasn't until years later that I met the head writer of all of these Flash animations that brought a lot of joy into my life at the time. And his name is Taylor Grant, and Taylor's on the phone with us today. Taylor, how you doing?
Hey, Ian. How's it going, buddy?
It's going well. So for those of you that don't know, it might be a lot of you, it might be a little of you, Taylor is an author and a filmmaker, an actor, and he's been working in Hollywood for a while doing script consulting. And he's an award-winning copywriter, and he's also worked in network television, big screen, small screen, newspapers, comic books, pretty much everything, national magazines, right, anthologies, and there's a new project that really hits home with the Part-Time Fanboy crew, and it's the Evil Jester project. It's a comic book project, so you're editor-in-chief of Evil Jester Press. Can you just talk about how that came up?
Sure. Well, I've really sort of, I've always been a big horror fan. In fact, the first movie that I directed was a horror film called Amused. But the comic book initiative happened because I was selling quite a few short stories over the past 2 years to various anthologies. And you know, they're very well connected in the Facebook community, so it's very, very quickly become connected to a lot of other authors, and kind of just happened that I ended up stumbling across this event page for this comic book called Evil Jester Presents, and there's a company, a small press publisher called Evil Jester Press, been around for about 2 years. They've done very well. They've published, I think they have 28 books in their library now. And they've done pretty well. One of them, Inheritance by Joe McKinney, is up for a Bram Stoker Award this year, which is very cool. And anyway, they were starting a comic book division, and so I ended up just posting some, you know, support for them because I've always loved horror comics. And I started up a dialogue with the owner, founder of Evil Jester Press, Charles Day, and we struck up a friendship. And one thing led to another, and next thing I knew, he'd asked me to become editor-in-chief of this new division. And so, yeah, that's the short version of how it happened.
Wow. So Also, I should mention, so Evil Jester just launched a Kickstarter campaign, and we're going to have the links on the website. So if you go to Kickstarter and you actually search Evil Jester, E-V-I-L-J-E-S-T-E-R, you'll find the Kickstarter page for the... It's a horror graphic novel for a comic series, Evil Jester Presents. So you've worked in so many mediums. Comic books... what is special about comic books when you're producing a comic book as opposed to doing something for a movie or doing something for television when it comes to, you know, working with talent, et cetera, et cetera? What is one thing about comic books that you particularly love enough that you would stick your neck out and do something like this?
Well, I'll be honest with you, it's a little scary because there's so many moving parts. And even to add to the challenge of this particular project, it's not a single author book. So I'm working with multiple authors, multiple script writers who are adapting stories by those authors, and of course the various inkers, letterers, and pencilers. So there's a lot of different people that have to be coordinated, and it's it's not easy. But you know, I guess it goes back to the fact that it's a passion project. You know, I have been reading comics since the 70s. You know, I worked for Stan Lee. I have, I think, over 50,000 comics in my collection. So this is sort of a dream project to be able to, you know, combine my love of horror and my love of comics into a single project. And this is only the first project out of the gate. We have, you know, pretty ambitious plans to build this into a successful publishing company. And we have other projects, single author projects that are currently in the works. But this is our first. So I just love horror and I love comics, and we're just going to throw caution to the wind and go for it.
So those early Flash comics that I was watching in New York that you were producing at Stan Lee Media, the book you're doing now is Paper, but from those experiences working with Stan Lee, what were some things that just stuck out and kind of stayed in your mind about production or about just moving things forward in the most creative way possible?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that, you know, regardless of medium, whether it's, and like you said earlier, I hope this doesn't sound egotistical, it's just the reality is that I've literally been forced to, because of circumstance in my career, I've been forced to learn how to write for every medium. Comics, you know, Flash animation for the web, film, television series, both animation and live action, and even short films and short stories. So in all of them, though, the common denominator is just, you know, how do you engage the person in the best way possible? And that is really just telling a good story. It all comes down to the story, you know, and some obviously are more visual than others. When you're writing a screenplay or a web animation piece or a comic book, there's visual elements that can be major shortcuts, you know, and you have to focus on the visual way of storytelling, and you can't get into the internal workings of the character's minds as, you know, that you had the luxury of in prose. So, you know, I'm a huge movie fan as well. So in many ways, comics are sort of mini movies on paper. You know, they're very sure. Similar in some ways to storyboards for films.
Right.
So I just love the medium, you know, and I think, you know, in terms of this particular medium, I think it's very visceral because of the imagery, particularly horror, mm-hmm. You know, and so it's going to be a real interesting challenge because, you know, particularly this first issue, because we have seven or eight stories and, you only have maybe seven or eight pages each to tell the story. Mm-hmm. And it becomes very challenging, very challenging.
So what is your take on what's inevitably happening, which is this digital infusion? And it's kind of interesting in a way that you were, with Stan Lee Media so early on, even though the internet, you know, the pipes and the speed and the technology couldn't really deliver the Flash animation comics as quick as possible. That was kind of the beginning of a first try. You know what I mean? For comics to come off the paper, get in the computer, and now, of course, with PDF and ebooks, etc., you know, comics are definitely going digital. What is your take on that? Is there always going to be paper books? And is the Evil Jester both, or is it just one? Is it just paper, or is it just ebook?
Okay. Well, you know, you're right. We were definitely ahead of our time in terms of the Stanley Media projects. We had, you know, the idea was good and it was solid and there was an audience for it. But as you already pointed out, you know, we didn't have the penetration of DSL and high speed cable modem and things like that. So it would take you as long to download it or more to watch it.
did anyone stop in the middle of the day and be like, hey, no one's watching this stuff. Why are we doing it? Or was there even any tracking on it? Could you even see?
No.
No, it's nothing.
We were really just flying blind, honestly.
That's awesome.
it just wasn't, the time wasn't right. But and then, you know, as far as where we're going, yeah, I mean, Evil Jester comics. And by the way, just to clarify that, Evil Jester Press is the book publishing side, which is
right.
Strictly prose, you know, novels and anthologies. Evil Jester Comics is the sister company, and that's what I'm the editor-in-chief of.
I see.
Pete Giglio is the editor-in-chief of Evil Jester Press.
Okay, great.
But anyway, our books will definitely be both digital and print. Mm-hmm. And as far as, you know, will print comics remain, you know, that's the question of the century in terms of what we do. But, you know, I don't see anyone, you know, I still go to the comic shop, you know, every week. And, you know, there's a hardcore audience of buyers who just enjoy print books and doesn't seem to be waning at all. So it may be this strange, you know, little niche for many years to come, but certainly, you know, with new generations that are much more used to iPads and Kindles and things like that, they have no experience, and some of them have no experience at all with print books, mm-hmm. print comics. So that is definitely the way of the future, no question.
So the horror community in general, now a lot of people, I would say in the last year or whenever Walking Dead came out, so, you know, a lot of people kind of, I would say that's their introduction lately to mm-hmm. the horror genre. But of course, it's been going on forever in novels, in short stories, and as well as in comics. But can you just give us an idea really about what the novel side of horror is and what kind of crossover is there with some of the writers and artists into comics, horror, and is there a crossover, or is it a separate kind of thing? Do you have novels on one side, horror comics on another, and there's no mingling of talent?
You know, there isn't a huge amount of crossover. There is some crossover. I guess probably one of the most notable is, you know, Jonathan Mayberry,
mm-hmm.
who's a New York Times bestselling author. But also writes, you know, quite a few Marvel comics. He's written one of his great books was Marvel versus the Avengers. So it definitely is out, you know, it definitely happens. But and I think probably more now than ever, you know, comics and graphic novels have certainly gained a lot more credibility and respect than they had when I was growing up. You know, there's a lot of, you know, I think David Morrell, who wrote, you know, The First Blood. You know, the first Rambo book. He's also done comics. So it definitely, and Brad Meltzer is another novelist who's done comics. So it definitely happens. And you know, of course, some comic writers have crossed over into novel writing as well, like Neil Gaiman.
Right. That's interesting. So the other part about the horror community is there's this very popular Bram Stoker Award, and I know you've had some of your stories in Bram Stoker nominated books, right? I think it was
uh-huh.
Horror for Good and
That's right.
and Feast of Frights. Is that correct?
Well, Horror for Good is currently up for a Bram Stoker Award.
Okay.
This year, and Feast of Frights was a Bram Stoker reading list entry, meaning it was considered, but it didn't, unfortunately, it wasn't able to qualify because of the amount of previously published stories that were in it, so it didn't make the cut, but a great book nonetheless.
So this type of award, as far as the industry goes, I mean, is there like a red carpet type thing when this award's being given out? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, there's a the World Horror Convention is held every year, and during that convention, there's the Bram Stoker Award or the Bram Stoker Awards are announced, and yes, there's a whole event, you know, a black tie event, and I'm actually going to be going to my first one this year.
Cool.
In New Orleans, looking forward to that, and yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, it's you know, it's definitely the biggest you know, horror convention of its type. You know, anyone who's gonna, it's a who's who, and anyone who's anyone is probably there, and I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah, it's you know, it's, in some ways it's the I guess the Academy Awards of horror.
I see. So I want to actually talk a little bit about your horror writing in general. But before that, some of the guys that you have on this book are Bram Stoker award-winning guys. So if you're a Bram Stoker award winner, is it like an Emmy where you have to – is there some sort of scale that you've got to tip these guys out on the pay like much, much more? Or do you find that these authors are just – they work on a – is it a per story basis? I mean, how does that work? Especially because you guys are starting. There must have been some consideration. How high can you go with the talent? No?
Sure. Well, I mean, there's, you know, I can't get into too many details in that area, but I can say that, you know, it's a total case by case basis, and it depends on, there's so many variables, you know, is the author, you know, first and foremost, are they a fan of comics?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they excited about seeing their story adapted into illustrated form? Are they, is it a existing story? Like, for instance, we haven't announced one author yet, but one of the authors that we'll be announcing soon actually wrote the script for the comic, as opposed to delivering a story that we would have to adapt.
I see.
So we had to pay him differently than, say, an author who is giving us a story that, a story that was previously published, and then we would adapt it, because we're doing the, you know, we're actually doing the writing of that script.
Right. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Sure. So there's no kind of textbook way of getting the talent, sourcing the talent, and then even what they're going to give you. They could give you a treatment. They could give you a full story. It's kind of like you guys are flying by the seat of your pants a little bit as far as what you want and what the talent is willing to do. So it's all kind of evolving organically.
Yeah. I mean, you know, as you know, once word gets around, I mean, Evil Gesture Press is already a known quality publisher,
mm-hmm.
So you know we had an advantage in that regard. You know, both Charles Day and myself, the co-founder, had our own network of people, so that we were legitimate. You know, we weren't just two guys in the garage, so
right.
That helped. And really, you know, surprisingly, some of these really big authors are very approachable,
mm-hmm.
Which is nice. And yeah, you know, you reach out to your network and you say, hey, here's what we're doing. But as a business person, obviously, with a book with multiple authors, a series with multiple authors, we have to, you know, sort of balance the big names with the newcomers as well. You know, we want the best stories possible. So we read, you know, hundreds of submissions. And, but it becomes very challenging because, you know, you want the best stories, but you also, you know, are sort of forced to have name recognition with some of the authors. Otherwise, no one is going to really pay attention to you as much.
Right.
So it's a balancing act. You know?
I think one of those authors, at least the one I saw that I responded to, was Christopher Nolan, who a lot of people might know from Logan's Run. That's so popular.
William F. Nolan.
Excuse me, William F. Nolan. Not popular maybe in the horror genre, right? But more of a, I guess, fantasy future. Did you just say to him, hey, you've got to give us a horror thing, or are you going to kind of let him do his own thing?
No, we actually...
if you can even give that away.
Yeah, sure. There was a particular story, this was kind of a dream come true for me. There was a particular story that I read when I was a kid. It had a couple different names. It was originally called The Small World of Lewis Stillman, and then it later changed to Underdweller.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was a fantastic story, and it just stuck with me for years. And so when we started putting this together, I just remembered it, and I thought that would be a fantastic story. And, you know, We both knew an author who has a close relationship with him, and so we reached out to him and were able to secure that story. So it was a huge win, and I'm really, really excited about that one.
It's really cool. I think it's a great mix, and it's cool to have him in there because it's really going to, you know, draw some extra people that might not, you know, consider a horror thing. So hopefully you guys will be bringing, like, new people into the fold. So the other thing I wanted to ask you was horror. When did you sit down, like, yourself and be like, ooh, I love writing horror? Was it one particular story, or was it something that slowly kind of accumulated? Because you have been published a lot now, but I have to assume that in the beginning, maybe it wasn't as easy for you to do. Or how did that kind of come about?
Well, that's actually kind of funny. Well, the long story short on that is that, you know, probably my greatest inspiration as a writer was Rod Serling. And, you know, I just absolutely lived and breathed The Twilight Zone as a kid, particularly the darker episodes, which were, you know, in essence, horror, some of them. And then his later series, The Night Gallery. And through that show, I was introduced to a lot of other writers, like Richard Matheson and Charles Beaumont and some others that were also short story writers, and became a huge Matheson fan as well. And loved reading, and a lot of them wrote horror. So I really enjoyed reading those at a young age. And I think I tried my hand at it a few times in high school, you know, embarrassingly bad stories. And then as I became an adult, working in the industry for so many years, as a screenwriter, you know, it's, as anyone will tell you who works in the business, it's kind of brutal in some ways. You don't get a lot of, you know, as a screenwriter, you're sort of at the mercy of people that are hiring you. Mm-hmm. You don't have a lot of say in the final result. So I think I wrote short stories sort of as a rebellion against all the compromises I had to make as a screenwriter and copywriter.
I see.
And I was just able to do my own thing, and I just tended to write dark fiction. And I think the first story that I wrote that was actually publishable, oddly enough, I wrote while I was at Stanley Media. Not during the day, but, you know, during my time there. It was sort of inspired by the endless meetings that I was in. and I ended up selling that story 10 years later. That was kind of funny.
Wow. So at this point, though, when you're getting ready to write something, are you someone that's keeping a sketchbook with you at all times? If you have an idea, when do they usually come to you? And how do you kind of just cull everything together? Is it scattered? Is it in one spot?
Well, you know, I have this thing, I don't really have an official name for it, but it's basically my list. And I probably started it, I want to say in about 1988. And it was just, you know, I couldn't turn off the ideas. They happened, you know, while I was driving, in the shower, you know, whatever. Hundreds and hundreds of ideas came to me over the years. And back in the 90s, I had a folder. Filled with notepads and napkins and matchbook covers and anything I had ideas, I would just throw it in there. That became pretty ridiculously unwieldy. So I ended up converting a lot of those into, you know, digital file. But I have, you know, I have more ideas in there than I could ever write in 10 lifetimes. You know, novel ideas, movie ideas, you know, play ideas, short story ideas. And a lot of times I just, now that I've become, you know, officially a short story horror writer, you know, there's sort of an expectation for me to continue on this path, and I really enjoy it and I love it doing it. But the good news is that I have this plethora of story ideas that I've been, you know, culling together for 20 years, so I don't think I'm ever going to run out of ideas.
Cool. And The Evil Jester Presents, the challenges with doing this kind of book, because you mm-hmm. with all this background, obviously, you have a pretty good idea of what you want the book to be, and it's actually on the Kickstarter page. There is a part that shows your the challenges with it, but mm-hmm. what is the biggest challenge right now with this book?
Well, money. It's our first challenge.
Sure.
It's kind of incredible to me that, you know, I remember when I priced out doing a single book like 10 years ago, mm-hmm. It was like, you know, at least 25 grand to just do a small print run for a single issue. And I thought, my God, I could do, you know, three short films for that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, sure. I just kind of boggled my mind. So the barrier of entry for comic book publishing is rather high, just because, you know, just the cost of doing it is just so high. So, I think that's our biggest barrier, but hopefully, you know, I mean, I'm not really concerned. I think that we're going to do quite well in this Kickstarter campaign. You know, it's a great concept. We've got, you know, huge authors attached to it, some really great artists that we're working with that are all on the Kickstarter page. And I think there's a real, this based on our initial research, there seems to be a real need for quality horror comics out there. And I think there's a lot of voracious readers who love good horror. So I think this will be embraced. I feel pretty good about it.
I mean, if you're a horror reader now, Vertigo obviously is still going, which is DC's line, which I happen to love. And you might read Walking Dead, but what other options are out there now? Is Dark Horse is still going, apparently?
Yeah, well, you've got, I mean, Vertigo is, from what I understand, is pretty much on the way out. I think they've only got maybe, I could be wrong, and my apologies to anyone who may be stepping on their toes, but I think they've only got one or two books out now.
Right.
You know, as far as this kind of book, you know, straight horror, you know, in terms of the bigger publishers, there's Dark Horse Presents, like you say, which is, you know, an anthology format. And then there's Dark Horse also just relaunched, you know, over the past couple of years, Creepy, which was, you know, a very famous Warren Publishing book from the 70s, which was an anthology of stories. And that's been going, I guess, pretty well. They're still publishing it. And they also just relaunched Eerie. I think about 3 or 4 months ago. And that was another successful Warren Publishing horror anthology comic from the 70s. So, you know, I mean, that does bode well. There is still an audience for it. I don't, you know, we're certainly, like I said before, we're going to not just focus on the anthology format. That'll be one of our books, but we're also have some single author projects that we're currently negotiating that we'll announce soon.
I just want to talk about some of these rewards that you guys are giving out on the Kickstarter. I mean, for $5, you can get an ebook of the project, which I think is pretty awesome. And that is a really
let me clarify that.
Can you clarify that?
Yeah, sure. It is a very good deal. It's not the deal exactly as you stated it, but it is a good deal. For $5, they get a free ebook copy of any previously published title from Evil Jester Press.
Okay, so that would be a novel, is that right?
A novel.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's awesome, though. I mean, for $5, you can get pick from anyone, and then, let's see, wait, I know that you guys are doing, yeah, for $10, you can get the Evil Jester Presents one, is that right?
That's right.
Digital copy.
Yeah.
And you also get to choose an ebook from
that's right.
Evil Jester Press. So, for a very, you know, small donation for people that don't have a huge wallet but still want to participate, that, I mean, you can't really go wrong there. That's what you would pay in a comic book store. That's what you'd pay online for what's going to be a really cool book. And I just urge everyone to check this out. I want to definitely give everyone some links. If you go to Kickstarter and search Evil Jester, you will find the Kickstarter page, and there's a few other links I want to give out. If you want to contact the guys at Evil Jester, there's eviljestercomics.com. I'm going to put all these, ask Christian to put all these on Part-Time Fanboy. Evil okay. Jester Press, eviljestercomics.com, taylorgrant.com if you want to say hi to Taylor, and charlesdayfictionwriter.blogspot.com. He's the creator of Evil Jester Press, right?
That's right.
Is there anything else, Taylor, you want to mention about the book or the project before we sign off?
All I would say is that, you know, as everyone who's been involved in the comic industry or reads comics knows, these are passion projects. You know, the indie stuff that we do, and we only exist based on the support of the comics and comic community, comic lovers. That's why Kickstarter has been such a fantastic new avenue for creators to reach out to people to enable them to do the work they really want to do. And we're putting our heart and soul into this book. We really want to produce a new high standard in horror comics. This is not going to be something we're really going to be proud of. And I think once they see the video on Kickstarter, they'll see the level of commitment and production value that we're going to bring to bear on this project.
Well, it's definitely cool. It's definitely something for me that's new because it is horror, and I'm really looking forward to when this thing comes out. And we'll definitely have to have you back on once you guys get into production, and would love to talk to you more, too, about your Stan Lee days and all the other stuff that part-time fanboys are interested in, which happens to be your career is very interesting. So thanks again, Taylor, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks, Ian. I appreciate it.
Part-time fanboys.